Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The demons praised her. Oh, what a beauty! What rare self-control! What a budding youth! In the midst of all of us who are passionately longing for her, she is moving about like one absolutely free from passion, indulging in various speculation about the evening twilight, which appeared to them endowed with the form of a young woman. The wicked-minded asuras treated her with respect and fondly spoke to her as follows. Who are you, O pretty girl? Whose wife or daughter are you? And what can be the object of your appearing before us? Why do you tantalize us, unfortunate as we are, with the priceless commodity of your beauty? Therefore, the mentality of the demons is being enamored by the forced beauty of this material world is expressed in him. The demoniac can pay any price for the skin beauty of the material world. They work very hard all day and night, but the purpose of their hard work is to enjoy sex life. Sometimes they misrepresent themselves, kama yogis, not knowing the meaning of the word yoga. Yoga means to link up with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to act in Krishna consciousness. A person who works very hard, no matter in what occupation, and who offers the result of the work to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is called a kama yogi. Translations. The demons praised her. Oh, what a beauty. What rare self-control. What a budding youth in the midst of us all, who are passionately longing for her. She is moving about like one absolutely free from passions, indulging in various speculations about the evening twilight, which appeared to them endowed with the form of a young woman. The wicked-minded asuras treated her with respect and fondly spoke to her as follows. Who are you, O pretty girl? Whose wife or daughter are you? And what can be the object of your appearing before us? Why do you tantalize us, unfortunate as we are, with the priceless commodity of your beauty? So ignorance being the opposite of knowledge, then here we find that example of darkness, ignorance. Of course, ignorance is simply the lack of the ability to see things as they are. So somebody in a completely dark environment, completely dark room or whatever, who can't see anything, then they're just going to give up and just stay in one spot and lament inactive ignorance. And as some smaller amount of light comes, then they start to see objects around them, but they speculate what those objects are, because in a very dimly lit environment, you cannot understand what things are. So we speculate, is it a chair, is it this or that. And as the light becomes more, then we get some, then it comes the mode of passion. When we start seeing things, we're, oh yeah, I know, and until scientists, etc., running around like crazy, in passion, playing around with material nature, thinking that they can see things as they are. But even all the way up to Brahma Loka, people cannot see things as they are. Only to a degree. Highest degree available in the material world. But because they are lacking the ability to see who they are exactly in relationship to Krishna, then they cannot see things as they are. You may see an item for what it is, but if you cannot understand whose item that is, then you're treated as your own, you're exploited. So yes, they may be able to see much better than anyone else, but still they don't have the complete conception that this is the Lord's energy for his enjoyment. And our only license there is to engage it in his service. So even after Brahma Loka, they want to enjoy to some degree these things themselves. Maybe on a very subtle level, well beyond our ability to understand, we may very much appreciate the elevated nature of such personality, but still, it's not perfect. So here we have those demons, they saw the Brahma, and they immediately want to enjoy sex life. What it says is the epitome of the demoniac mentality. They couldn't even discriminate between male and female. They said, oh, that's in the West. So they went after him, and then of course he drops this body also and comes as the twilight, beginning to be darkness. And they're attracted to that, so they go deeper and deeper into darkness. And now we can see everywhere so-called gay rights. Let them marry men, let them marry women, let them marry animals. Everything is going on. Lost all aspect of discrimination because they're in darkness. You cannot discriminate in darkness. As Brahma is moving around, expressing different moods, being overcome by different moods, then he's dropping one body after. So we're seeing this chapter so many different bodies are cast off by him, different moods in other words, are cast away by him. And different personalities attracted to that particular mode are taking up that situation. So this comes from the spiritual world. This is originally there. Everything is personal. Behind everything is a person. Whether it's the twilight or the night, or each and every day of the year, each and every night of the year, each and every day of our life, and each and every night of our life, everything has personality behind it. There was a personality who was doing austerities to satisfy Lord Indra. This personality wanted to become a Brahmin. And he did austerities for a long time, and Indra came to him and said, all right, what do you want? He said, I want to be a Brahmin. He said, that's not in my power to do. So you ask for some other benediction. So he said, no, I won't, I'll carry on doing austerities. So he carried on again, Indra came to him after some time and said, no, you accept the benediction. He said, yeah, I want to be a Brahmin. He said, no, I don't have the power to give you that. So eventually he said, all right, please stop now, you know, this is quite normal with these austerities. So he made him the demigod of the ears. So everything has a personality. Every imaginable thing, every grass, tree, species, there's a personality behind it. Whatever silly thing it may be, there's a personality behind it. So in the spiritual world, it's the same. Radharani was feeling so much distress of separation from Krishna sometimes. So she's very happy when Nidra day comes. She welcomes her, oh, thank you, sleep. Now I can fall asleep. So every single thing has a personality. And this is the whole purpose of the purple to our chariots, of the whole process of sadhana bhakti, is that we can become persons and appreciate that everything is personal. But to the degree of ignorance we're in, we won't see the personality. We'll only want to see the item and see how we can exploit it. But as we become more elevated, we will appreciate that behind us is a person. First we're taught all the supreme person, Godhead, Krishna. But then we can understand that Krishna is not alone. He has so many performances. It's not possible to count how many performances he even just to listen to a word, 30 scroll David, 33 crores. What's that? 10 million in a crore? 33 times 10 million. A lot of Davids. Just to be the person behind so many things. And besides them, there's lesser Davids who look after lesser aspects. I think each one of them has 8 lesser Davids. So you can just start to imagine how many personalities, just in this smallest of all the universes, there are to just be behind every single thing you can possibly imagine. There's a personality there. So there, in Goloka, Krishna has unlimited potencies. Yes, we say that there's the Astasakti and they have 8 assistants each and they have 8 assistants and so on and so it goes into billions and billions and billions and then it's uncalculable. And all of those Sakis are in charge of something. They're the personality behind something. When Krishna expands into Dwarka, Dwarkadish, into Ayodhya, Ramachandra, into Vaikuntha, various Vaikuntha Nas, Narayana. Those potencies also expand. Otherwise nothing would be there. Nothing at all would be there. Because of the potency, because of the personalities, then the substance manifests, what we can see. So they expand, and when it's necessary for the material world to exist, to accommodate those personalities who are not willing in any way to be the servant of Krishna. Not even in Vaikuntha or anywhere do they want to be the servant of Krishna. They want to be totally reverenced. No way do they want to be the servant of Krishna. Actually, you can live in Vaikuntha and just enjoy living in the same family store, enjoy having the same bodily form store. You don't have to be greatly surrendered to the Lord. You don't have to be greatly in love with the Lord to attain that. But you must not be envious of it. There's no enviousness in it. But that's not possible for some living entities. So they're accommodated in the dark region. The place of ignorance. The material world. But Krishna, of course, he doesn't want to allow any of the living entities to be forgotten. So by some arrangement or another, the expansions of the Lord are there. And the expansions of the potencies of the Lord. And they reflect into the material world. They're reflective. So all of those personalities which originate in Goloka, their potency is present in the material world. As all of these things, yawning, sleeping, ability to move the eyes, the eyesight, the different movements of hairs. There's 55 devas in charge of wind, and each one of them have hundreds of assistants in charge of all kinds of small winds. And each is a personality, an individual person. And behind that personality, there is a potency, an original personality who is there in Goloka. Nothing can exist here which doesn't exist there. Except there it is completely light. There it is completely pure, original. So we start to get some idea by studying these early cantos of Bhagavatam. Some idea how everything has a personality behind it. And that personality is not a supreme personality. There's somebody behind that person. And there's someone behind that person. And Brahma first took birth, so to speak, when he first appeared. He was sitting in darkness, he had no idea, of course, he just sat there completely confused. Then he kind of slowly was trying to look around and realize he was sitting on something, so he started to... He had no idea how far to go down. He went down and down and down to a whole culprit going by. And he put on wasting time here. But he had no idea, he couldn't see where he was going. He shrouded by darkness. So they came back up. Then he got communication, tapa. Perform austerities. Then you'll be able to get out of the sickness. But even that only brought him to a certain level. Not until he actually heard the name and glories of Krishna. Then he actually became sacrificed. So yes, now we have the human form of life. There are many species which are higher than the human form of life, which have much more power, much more ability to be able to see what is going on. But it doesn't give us freedom. We're still trapped. A little while the body will get old and die, or maybe it won't get old and it will die. No guarantee. So we stop the Brahman. We have to take shelter, we stop the Brahman. We have to take shelter of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because this is Radha Krishna, this is Goloka Vrindavan. This is all of the intimate personalities all contained in this mantra. And this is the only hope of actually seeing things as they actually are. Actually seeing things as everything is important to Krishna. It's the only hope that we can actually come to a platform where once again we can become non-self. Non-exploited. We can actually start to serve the Lord again. Start to realize that I'm just a little insignificant person. My significance becomes something when Krishna is there. Krishna Das. As soon as we add Krishna, Krishna Das, then we become very significant. Then you have the ability, the greatest ability, which even Krishna doesn't have. The one power which Krishna doesn't have. To serve Krishna, to control Krishna. And Krishna is wondering, what is this? What is I'm controlled by this Radharani and her sakis. Let me taste it. First thing Radharani tells him, no, you're not qualified. Not qualified to undergo the suffering which I undergo. I am not qualified to be constantly in distress of how to satisfy the senses of Krishna, how to satisfy those senses. Not qualified. Not qualified to be in that situation that when you go away for a moment, then the distress I feel could be billions and billions of pupils. There is no limit for each moment in the separation. You should totally know you're not qualified. You're not qualified to taste the nectar of a service to yourself. You're too soft. So then she agreed, all right, then I'll cover your body with my own. Gauranga. She becomes Gauranga. And gets the taste. Gets the relish. The love for which Srimati Radharani has for you.
Vrindavan devotee.
So this is the situation which is being offered by our acharyas. That wake up, Kikago! It's not good enough just to say, oh, I guess I'm a devotee. Oh, I have to sit up on every day, I'll go to Mangalati, God will do service in the temple. This is the beginning, the very beginning, sadhana bhakti, the practice, to somehow stimulate the forgotten soul. Somehow shake out of the decision, close our eyes and keep them closed. Stay in darkness. But what we need is prema bhakti. And there is no process available to develop prema bhakti. We develop sadhana bhakti life after life after life after life, you can go on. But it cannot produce prema bhakti. Prema bhakti is not come about by some practice. It comes about by the force of mercy of those devotees who have prema bhakti. It comes about by developing an intense desire, having once tasted to some degree the service of the Lord, the pleasure it brings, the freedom from anxiety it brings, the auspiciousness connected to it. By having understood this is something beyond anything which you've experienced before, then a desire can come about. This is what sadhana bhakti. The desire that, yes, I want that prema bhakti. When that desire becomes intense from the soft heart of the devotees who have prema bhakti, they extend that prema bhakti. Yes, please join us in service. The pure service. And nothing is asked in return. Simply you make no demand. You don't want any of the five types of liberation. You don't want any of the yoga vows. You don't want any kind of material enjoyment. You don't want any position. Nadhanam, nadhanam, nasundam. This is the only condition. And in exchange, you can become Krishnadas. You can spend eternity trying to satisfy sense. And the only guarantee there is that you will experience more bliss than you can possibly handle. So you're a good man. You have experienced more distress than is possible to even imagine. Because every time Krishna decides to go up with some other coward boy or coward girl or goes inside the house and comes, then everyone moves into a portion of distress. Krishna goes to the forest in the morning, the whole night the forest is completely just dried up. Just dried up. All the flowers dry up, all the trees just dry up. Krishna's absence. And Krishna heads off into the forest. He's coming before him. Srimati Vrindadevi and her assistants are running ahead. Oh, Krishna is coming now. Come on, wake up. Krishna is coming. And they all bloom. All the grass starts standing up nicely. Everyone tries to smell nicer than ever. Because Krishna is coming. They forget their lamentation immediately. Otherwise the whole night they were just completely lamenting, suffering, beyond any possible understanding to be able to suffer in the material world. Whatever is the most horrendous suffering you've ever experienced, you cannot compare. And yet, at the same time, they're totally absorbed in remembering Krishna, so there's simultaneously experience of bliss that cannot be. separation in one temple, one in Krishna. Feeling such separation and merging into such remembrance of the Lord's authenticity brings about that which is only available in Vrindavan. Uddhava, such a hermit personality, nobody knows more than Uddhava, no one. Not even in Vrindavan does anyone know more than Uddhava. But he can't understand the movement with us. Eventually he became so bewildered that, oh my Lord, please let me just take birth as some Gulam Dutta, let me just become some creeper growing here, so I may receive the mercy of the Buddha. By rolling in the dust as a creeper, then maybe I'll get some small appreciation of the love which they had for me. So we have to become persons once again, and we have to relate to everyone in persons. If we want to actually approach Krishna's service, then we have to see everything as a personal servant. Not mayavadis, not going to imagine what is there, what isn't there, but everything has a personality. And that personality ultimately, in its original form, is engaged in service of Krishna. So whatever we come in contact with, we need to engage in Krishna service. Otherwise we miss it. So then we don't touch it. It's no better than soul. Where will be gold, and then the Swami is 22,000 gem away. What use do I have? I'm sitting here chanting Hare Krishna. I go out to the villages, I beg the rotis every day. I speak to the bridge buses and tell them some stories about Krishna. But I need a two family center. What do you got? Because you have no use for it. Oh, if you are, hey, you can make a nice golden temple, you can do so many things. Yes, because you want to enjoy all of what I've done. There's so no use for it. He was doing this service for Krishna. He didn't need that. And that Brahmin who came for that, he realized, what do you want? Give me this, I must have something more valuable. Obviously, why would anyone who keeps that in the garbage can? He must have something I can't even imagine. And he was right. Is actually, I've seen with my own eyes actually, in Govardhan on the banks of Mansaganga, there were some persons there and they were diving in Mansaganga, searching around in that place where the stone was considered to be fallen, seeing if they could find it. But somewhere in the middle period, 1700s most probably, there was one Siddha Krishna Das living there in the place of Sanatana Goswami. So one person came to his father and said, I know that, worshipping Krishna is the highest, developing loving mood towards Krishna is the highest. But Goswamiji, Sanatana Goswami, he knew that, he had that sheer bone. If we got that, we could do so much service with Krishna. So that Siddha Baba said, yeah, maybe you're right. So he went down onto the steps of Mansaganga, he put his hand in, and he started pulling out some jungle stones. He said, is this one? He said, no, he put it back.
shining like gold when you pour another one shining like diamonds. You carry on one out the other for another. And I trust him. My, any one of those for Jewish? No, no, we need to find that one. That was the one he wanted. Come take another one. He just carried on from me. And then he told me that because you're foolish and blind, you cannot understand that every dust, every grain of dust of Rajadam is so valuable that Narayana, even with all of his opulences, cannot purchase one grain of dust. Lakshmi Devi is doing austerities. Oh, let me take birth there in Vrindavan. Let me become your maidservant. No, you cannot, that's not possible. Because you've got the wrong mood. So not by any amount of wealth, not by any amount of intelligence, not by any amount of high position, even a Lakshmi or an Anta. Vasudeva himself, personality of Godhead, immediate expansion of the original Shama Sunda. He takes birth in Vrindavan, his childhood boy. So we can simply put aside all the foolishness that we want to somehow be the enjoyers, we can somehow be the best of anything. The best knower of the Shastra, the best singer of the songs, the best cooker of the bowl, the best pujari, the best this, the best that. We can put that aside somehow and just accept the best position, Krishna Das. Anudas. Then we will get its offers. Rupa Goswami gives a very clear warning that be sure, because once you actually see that vision, really see it, then you will lose all ability to enjoy it. Turn away from him, to become a slave of his senses. Savadhamam Kshatriya, Mamaikam Kshatriya. Give up everything. And just become my slave. Don't worry. I will provide everything. Simply come with the desire that I want to satisfy all the senses. Do not lose sight of the goal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns that the most dangerous stage to advancing spiritual life is Madhyamalika. You start to think, oh, I know so many things. And I can know so many more things about Krishna, about the chapters, about mantras, etc. And he loses sight of the goal. No, I must become Krishna Das. This is all just facility to serve Krishna. And if I'm not serving Krishna with it, even if it appears to be something useful, it's useless. So what if you know millions of soldiers? If you can't cross by Krishna with those, what use are they? If it simply locks you in the hope of, yeah, I'm so clever, I'm so great personality, such advanced glory. You know, Chaitanya went to Kumar Temple in South India.
The pundits said, the students, they all knew Bhagavad Gita inside out. They all speak in only Sanskrit. And yet he wasn't interested. He was only interested in one of the students who could hardly read. Why? Because he had understood that the goal is to become the servant of the servant of Krishna. And he was just appreciating more and more revelation how Krishna had taken the reins of Arjuna's chariot. How the master had taken on the position of servant. He understood the goal. Time. Destroy this material world. In the spiritual world, time is very tasty. It expands. If you have something more to do for Krishna, it will expand. It will get done in time. If you are disrupted. Just to remind us, whatever situation you end up, it cannot be the problem. So are there any comments or questions? Yes. You have to speak up. Time is taking away the ability to hear. The exalted position of who? Residents of Vrindavan. One lifetime. Sanatana Goswami says it's not possible, impossible, in one lifetime to go back to Godhead. He says his body could not in any way sustain the ecstasies which involved in pure love of Godhead. At the same time, Rupa Goswami says in his very lifetime he can enter into the eternal service of our nation. Srila Prabhupada in some places say that as we perfect this life, we will go to a planet where Krishna's pastimes are manifested in one of the many universes, and there we can take birth and get the association of the Nitya Siddhas, eternal Vrindavasis, and maybe in their association develop pure love for Krishna. Can we do that one night then? Yes. If you're going to surrender and become the servant of Krishna. Because there's nothing to do. You are eternally Krishna Das. You're just simply what? Eternally. That is your constitutional position. But are you going to return to it? That is up to you. There's nothing to be attained. You are naturally the servant of Krishna. You river down. It's just a little seed like personality in the past. Entirely up to us. If the intense desire is there, if we can cry to Krishna, Hare Krishna. And yes. Why one lifetime, 1 second? It only takes. But you have to let go of everything else. What is preventing you from becoming unalloyed servant. In the next version, Prabhupada saying to the white Vrindavasis, they can advance further. They're not in the best situation because they're enamored by the glories of the world, by the opulence of the world, but they can advance further. So what to speak of us? They can advance further, even if they're not there yet. But if we can understand this chapter of Mahaprabhu, and that's implemented in our life, then yes. Krishna wants you more than you want, but even more than that, both is Krishna. They're very anxious to engage more and more. Krishna is a very lusty fellow, Dampat. Never satisfied, he is more and more interested in serving him. Wandering from queen to queen, enjoying more and more devotees. Kartik Mass is going on. There are so many different austerities you can perform, and they all produce many benefits. But for a Vaishnava, Kartik is the time to increase one's chanting, one's relishing the Bhagavatam, and serving the Tulsi, and association with the Vaishnavas. One's understanding what it means to live in the Dharma. And if some austerity of food or reducing sleep helps in that, then that is good. But if you think somehow by performing some austerity, taking less food, drawing more air, sleeping less is going to be the Krishna claims, it's a great illusion. Daniel says, I would give up millions and millions of bodies if I could get Krishna. Why would I live on milk? I would live on water if I could get Krishna. Krishna is not something you purchase in the marketplace in that way. It's somebody who's controlled by fame. This is fame, singing his glories. His name, his qualities, his pastimes. This is a way to accomplish. You may go to Vaikuntha. You may go to the walk. When you get there, you'll find that they have been there all. How can we possibly reach Vrindavan? How can we possibly get the same degree of love? Love of God as they have. And for sure, anyone from here who goes there will just be laughed at by them. What, you gave up the topmost place to come here? You gave up the topmost opportunity? You're in the line of Rupa Goswami? You could have entered into the eternal service of Radha and Krishna. Instead, you got fooled and you followed some silly austerity, some foolish ideas. Always remember and Krishna will never forget Krishna. This is the foundation. This is the principle of devotional service. All other principles have to serve that. Fast for the whole month of Kartik, and we're simply thinking, oh, how wonderful I am, look what I did. Is that always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna? Radhanath Das Goswami used to take about 100 meals of Bhagavad every day. Not because he was performing some austerity or let me just take this much instead. No. Because he was always absorbed in remembering Krishna, he never thought to eat. And his servant was bringing him that much.
But the whole mother, he wants you to stay with us. Please take some.
Now she is responding to this.
And John of the day again, he had given up even taking the buttermilk.
5 days had gone by. He hadn't even taken the buttermilk. Everyone was, you know, any moment he can do, but please do something. She said, all right. So she cooked a big feast. And then demanded that Rabbi Nath does come. He said, he ate the whole feast. And afterwards he was sitting. And I said, oh, what is wrong? He said, I think I have indigestion. She's not guilty, enamored by austerity. She can somehow have formed this austerity or that austerity on one occasion. She was obtained by intention. It's in the beginning stage of some austerity, some of this and that, may be helpful to the short sense. But if you think that it's going to lead to a goal in himself, it's a future. So when we begin deep, even like a king. Even Gadadhar Pandit came to see him and said, what is this? This is the Maurya Krishna. Santana Kundu and said, tell me you're being able to see a great devotee. And Mukunda started to sing. Immediately, Mukunda began to develop this big bone. It's like rolling around and that's driving the fire. Oh, he's a good one. And Gadadhar got up and left. What have I done? I've been to such a great offense. And I'm simply looking externally. Oh, the devotee should be very simple, should be very austere. Austere means giving up and joining the material world. Doesn't mean that somebody according to our conception is not enjoying the world, but actually they're not enjoying the world. They may be living in a palace, or they may be living in a little hut somewhere in the mountains. But if they've managed to give up the enjoying the moon and become a certain person, then they can be Shmadvavatamke Kapitmaske Shirapapara.